following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm very glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. This month of July, we're going to be looking at one word, one Greek word that actually translates to two words in English, because that often ends up being the case. Sometimes Greek and Hebrew words end up being whole phrases in English. But here we're going to look at one word, one Greek word, allelon, which most commonly is translated as one another. It is used almost 100 times in the New Testament alone, and 47 of those times it is directed at followers of Jesus. And so we're going to look at a ton of these instances over the next 5 weeks. We won't get into all 100, but we're going to get close to the 47 that are directed at followers of Jesus. There's a project called the Overview Bible Project, and it's helpfully broken them up into four categories, three large groups, and then a fourth group of the rest. And so we're going to use kind of that as our guide to look at different categories of these one another verses over throughout the month of July. And so our first group of one another commands specifically involve calling the church, the body of Christ, to unity. And we have 14 such commands throughout the New Testament. And we're going to take them one by one, because it's not enough just to lump all these together under the term unity. Because unity can mean all sorts of things to different people. We can all define unity differently, even at different times. And so we're going to look at what the Bible says, how the Bible defines this idea of unity to one another. And so we're going to see what the Bible has to say about the church getting along. This series is going to feel and it's going to be a bit different because we're essentially doing a word study. We're looking at one word. And because of that, we're going to be bouncing through the New Testament, primarily in Paul's letters. And we're going to move pretty quickly through these verses. So I'd encourage you to either jot down verses furiously or wait until Monday or Tuesday when I'll put a PDF up with our sermon online that has all the verses in it so that you can go back and read fuller context on your own. Sometimes it'll be a verse that we'll read in here. Sometimes it'll be two, three verses together. But I will make those scripture passages available to you on the website following each week. So, are you ready? These are going to come at you pretty fast and furious. We have 14 verses or passages to get through. So let me pray for us, for me, and we can dive in. Heavenly Father, this morning we are thankful for a great many things, most of all for your Son. Lord, help us to grow as followers of Jesus, learning what it means to be unto one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first is actually from the Gospel of Mark. Mark 9, verse 50. Jesus says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Now, I really love this idea of salt, of being salt, and the power of being salt in the world. I've watched enough cooking shows to know what a vital role salt plays in bringing out the flavors in cooking. When used correctly, salt enhances things, right? It brings things to life. It enriches the whole dish. And all of what we are called as followers of Christ to do for the world is enrich, enliven, enhance the world. And so that's something that we need to hold on to, being salt in the world. But the all alone, the one another reference here is right at the end. Be at peace with one another. And that seems like an easy statement. Of course, followers of Christ should be at peace with one another. Of course, like that seems common sense. But I know that we can all come up with examples where Christians are actually the worst critics of one another, attacking one another out of pride, fear, jealousy. And so this is a really good place for us to start. Be at peace with one another. Romans 12, verses 4 through 6a. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Here our word is right in the middle. We, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Members of one another. I think that's a really beautiful image. Christ is the head of the body, but we are all a part of the body, and our membership is in Christ and also in one another. And so there's a deep connection that we have to one another in Christ, and we all then benefit when we grow in our individual gifts, which is how this passage continues in the book of Romans. Being members of one another in this context is about living into our functions, our individual God-given functions as a part of the body. And so just as a little aside in here, if you're wondering what that role is, what your role is, what part of the body you may be, call me, email me. I would love to help you figure that out, explore that with you, because that's how our body get stronger. That's how you grow in faith, by understanding and diving in deeper to what it is God is calling you to be. I told you these are going to come, you know, right at you. Romans 15, 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward one another that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see in the following verses a little bit more of what this means, but the foundation is really clear. We are to think about one another the same way Jesus thinks about us. And so the next verse continues, Romans 15, 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Paul here elaborates on the previous couple of verses, accepting one another. And we know from the Gospels that Jesus accepted all types of people. He welcomed, called, invited all types of people to relationship with him, to follow him. And so in accepting one another, like Christ accepts us, we are bringing praise to God. And now, I would suggest that throughout this series, including here, we will encounter words that on the surface, words, verses, phrases, ideas, that on the surface make a whole lot of sense to us if we think about the people here at Emmanuel. Right, if we're looking at just the people at Emmanuel that we're talking about here, these all seem relatively easy, relatively straightforward. Maybe even as we're thinking about within our own denomination, these seem relatively easy, relatively straightforward. But Scripture doesn't make those types of delineations. Jesus doesn't make those delineations. And so accepting one another, this call here to accept one another, challenges us well beyond these four walls. It challenges us well beyond the four men in a hot tub that is the covenant logo. I should have put a picture up of that for you because now you have no idea what I'm talking about. Rich maybe does. Erica does. Yeah. I'll show you. Afterwards, I'll find the logo for you and you won't be able to see it as anything else. But it goes well beyond these four walls. It goes well beyond just the Evangelical Covenant Church. It goes to the four corners of the earth. 1 Corinthians 11:33 and 34. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. I'll admit, at first glance, this is a bizarre one to me. It's usually not great form if you're going to a dinner party to eat beforehand. But this was clearly an important message for Paul to write to the Corinthians. And it was important because Paul was dealing with misuse of the Lord's Supper. And this passage, going all the way back to verse 17, is about the Lord's Supper. It's about communion. And so these final words of the passage we read here are indeed a call for unity. The Lord's Supper should never be something used to divide the body of Christ. And that's one of the reasons that we as a denomination are clear about communion being open to all who have confessed and professed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It is meant to be a meal for the whole body to partake of together. And we'll get to do that together just a little bit later this morning. Galatians 5, verses 13 to 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. This passage, the two one another statements in this passage are pretty clear. They're pretty straightforward. The first is about service to one another, serving one another, humbly, in love, not with expectation, not with a whole bunch of clauses about, yes, I will, but only if you blank. There's nothing in that. Serve one another humbly in love. And the second part, straightforward, but maybe hard to hear. Don't bite and devour one another. Don't take those little bites, those little words that bite out of one another. Don't tear down one another. Don't use words, actions, to destroy one another, because those things have power. Serve, love, build up, care for one another. Again, an easy thing to think about and talk about maybe here within these four walls. A little bit more challenging when we include the whole body in there. Galatians 5, 25 and 26. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I bet that I'm not the only one who has looked down on another congregation, another denomination, another Christian. Feel a little bit, I've done that. I've had those conversations about why my church is better, why my denomination is better. I've had those thoughts about why I am better. It's not okay. And we're not to provoke one another. We're not to provoke a brother and sister in Christ. And we're not to envy I know I've also been equally guilty of that. I see fellow pastors and friends with things that are going wonderfully or have resources that are incredible or all kinds of things. But that is not building up the body of Christ either. Paul says don't. Instead, live by the Spirit. Walk in step with the strength of the Spirit. Don't allow conceit or provocation or envy to have any role in the way you interact with others. Ephesians 4, 1-3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I really like that phrase, bearing with one another in love. A lot is included in that phrase. Life is included in that phrase. Pain, struggle, suffering. And we are called to bear all of that with one another in love. That's what love is. Bearing with one another. Living with one another. Entering pain with one another. Entering struggle, suffering with one another. We are called to all of that. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind. Again, it's about as straightforward as it can get. And forgive one another, as God in Christ forgave you. God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, it's not a logical forgiveness. It is completely unfathomable, the love God shows by forgiving us sinners. And that is the same way we are called to forgive. To forgive one another when it makes no sense at all. When it is incredibly difficult. That is the same forgiveness that we are to show one another. Be kind and forgive one another. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one, I went too fast for myself. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Paul tells the Corinthians the same thing he told the Ephesians. He lists off a whole bunch of characteristics that should be evident in followers of Christ, and certainly in the body of believers. And then Paul adds in the same phrase we saw in Ephesians, bearing with one another. And again, like we read in Ephesians, forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. This is a reminder that we need to make to ourselves over and over and over and over. It's a forgiveness that never stops. And that's the same kind of forgiveness we have to be willing to give. A forgiveness that doesn't stop. And remind ourselves over and over and over and over to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. We're seeing, you know, some common themes throughout here, aren't we? I wrote in here A, but I didn't say it. 1 Thessalonians. You're just going to have to listen to me share 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Again, it sounds very straightforward, but I don't think I'm alone in hearing these as difficult words. Our natural tendency is towards fairness. I mean, how often as we're growing up do we say those words, that's not fair? You know, and as adults, we try to teach kids that not everything is fair, life's not fair, blah, 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 blah. But I think that's still where we naturally gravitate towards, fairness. So if someone has wronged me, well, then I should be able to do whatever I want to get back at them. You know, like if I'm mad at the airline, well, then I should be able to scream at the airline executive. I know you can all picture me screaming. Scream at the airline representative on the phone because I was wronged, right? Or if service is really long at a restaurant, well, I don't need to tip then because I was wronged in there. An eye for an eye. That feels right because it feels fair. If someone treats me poorly, I am within my rights to treat them poorly, aren't I? But Jesus teaches us very plainly to turn the other cheek, to forgive, as Jesus forgave us. And we see that here again. And then Paul challenges us even further than that. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. I mean, maybe we have wrapped our heads around the turn the other cheek concept, whether we're great practitioners of it or not. That's a concept that I think we get, right? We know those words from Jesus, right? We know that's what we're supposed to do. But this statement goes further. This statement goes right back to God's promise to Abraham that through him the whole world would be blessed. And so Paul talks about that idea here. We are to do good to one another and to everyone. We are to bless one another and everyone. I'm going to read two passages here together. James 4, 11 and 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And then James 5, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. I've grouped these two together. We have heard a lot and looked a lot at verses, passages that have to do with action. These two speak specifically to words, an attitude. Right? Our words matter. What we say to others matters, and what we say about others matters. Even those little grumbles matter because they are not godly. They are judgmental. They tear down, they don't build up. And again, this is one of those areas where I need to be reminded that this goes beyond just these four walls. They extend to the whole church. And then finally, this morning, James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So we've come through 14 verses, passages, that have this one another word or one another phrase in them. And we're roughly a quarter of the way through our one another verses. And this verse is a really appropriate place to end on a communion Sunday. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. One of the things a former boss of mine taught me pretty well on day one was that a good leader takes the blame for everything and gives credit away for everything. And I see a bit of that here in what James is saying about confession. If we're the body, we have to confess to one another our sins, the ways that we have wronged one another. We have to own our failures to one another. The things that we have done or left undone in thought, word, and deed that are contrary to the will of God, and the ways that that has affected one another. And I believe that it's appropriate as we head to the communion table this morning. But again, not just for us as Emmanuel. Not just for those who are part of the Emmanuel Covenant Church family. But this is about confessing our sins to those that we have abandoned around the world, our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Confessing our sins means confessing the ways that we have not spoken up about injustices that we see here in our own country or around the world. Confessing our sins goes beyond our daily individual sins, but it has to incorporate who we are as a whole church, globally. And so with that in mind, we're going to close our time together and begin transitioning into our time of communion. I'm going to invite us to pray a prayer of confession together, confessing our sins to God, but also confessing our sins to one another along the way. So I'll invite you to join along in this prayer of confession as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. We confess to you, Lord, what we are. We are not the people we like others to think we are. We are afraid to admit, even to ourselves, what lies in the depths of our souls. But we do not want to hide our true selves from you. We believe that you know us as we are, and yet you love us. Help us not to shrink from self-knowledge. Teach us to respect ourselves for your sake. Give us the courage to put our trust in your guiding power. We confess to you, Lord, the unrest of the world to which we contribute and in which we share. Forgive us that so many of us are indifferent to the needs of others. Forgive our reliance on weapons of terror, our discrimination against people of different races, and our preoccupation with material standards. And forgive us Christians for being so unsure of our good news and so unready to tell it. Raise us from the paralysis of guilt into the freedom and energy of forgiven people. And for those who, through long habit, find forgiveness hard to accept, we ask you to break their bondage and set them free. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.